Hello, my name is Mark Stavish, and welcome to the Institute for Hermetic Studies. We are continuing our discussion of Israel Regardi's book, The 12 Steps to Spiritual Enlightenment, also known as the One-Year Manual. Now, in our previous discussion, we discussed opening and closing symbols, as well as opening prayer. So let's put that to work. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And that's also known as the Kabbalistic cross. Some of you know it in a more detailed fashion with visualizations of energy rising above your head and moving down through your body to your feet, and the left and right shoulders glowing with spheres of energy. But it's not described that way here. It's just a simple sign of the cross in which we say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And of course, it's followed by the notation or injunction that we're to be considered that our body is a holy temple, our mind is the priest, and our soul is the Holy Spirit. A holy temple, a kingdom. Some schools call it a citadel or fortress. Mind is the priest or hierophant or director of ceremonies, if you will. And the soul, somewhat nebulous term, even though we use it a lot, is the Holy Spirit, also somewhat nebulous. What do we mean by holy? But whole and complete. And spirit is energies. And that comes from Zoroastrianism, actually, into Judaism, and then from that into Christianity. And it should be the holy creative spirit or creative energies. So now we have our prayer. From thy hands, O Lord, cometh all good. From thy hands flow down all grace and blessing. As servants look unto their master, so our eyes look unto thee. For thou alone art our help, O Lord, our God. Be with me now in this, the great work. Guide me and protect me as I open this thy temple, for this work which I dedicate wholly to thee. Remember, the temple is not just the space we're in. In fact, the space we're in is completely secondary. The real temple is the physical body in which we live out our daily life, because it is through this physical form that we are able to experience a variety of forms of consciousness. It is in the physical life that we can achieve illumination or enlightenment, because it gives us restriction. Now, that may sound peculiar, because our goal is to overcome restriction, if we want to think of it in that way. But this restriction allows us to focus and concentrate our energies in a manner that without it, we seem to have trouble. So we learn to discipline ourselves by overcoming, if you'd like to think of it this way, the inertia of matter, of physical life. Another way to look at it is when we are having a dream. We believe that dream to be very real, and hence the difference between a dream and a lucid dream or an out-of-body experience. And in that dream that's very real, it maybe has something frightening. We call that a nightmare. And we earnestly seek to wake up. And in waking up, what do we mean? We mean return to physical consciousness, right? Shift away from that inner state, which is so terrifying, to an outer objective state of the physical world. So our body is very important to us, and it's the foundation of our consciousness as we understand it and in our spiritual practice in many ways. That's why step one in Regardi's book is body awareness. So let me read these few brief paragraphs to you. One of the major goals of any system of self-development or spiritual growth is the acquisition of sensitivity or self-awareness. There's only one way of acquiring this awareness, and this is to become aware. Sitting comfortably in a straight-backed chair or lying flat on one's back in bed, one merely attempts to observe what is happening as if it were under the skin. You simply watch your body, its sensations and feelings here and now. This only and nothing more. Do not try to relax or to breathe in any unusual or special way, or try to control the thoughts that float through the mind. all these processes and methods will be dealt with later. For the time being, merely become conscious of any sensation that arises anywhere in the body. I suggest you wiggle around for a moment or two to find that one position which is most comfortable. Having found it, stay in it and do not move from it in any way. There should be absolutely no voluntary muscular movement for the rest of the practice session, not even a wiggle of a toe or a wiggle of a finger. The session should last not more than 10 minutes at first, but gradually by the end of a month should be extended to half an hour. For many people, this will seem an eternity in which every instinct will cry aloud for a wiggle of some kind to ease the tension. This should be resisted. Other students will find the 10 minutes to pass as it were in a flash. It is important to develop your powers of concentration while practicing these awareness exercises. If your mind wanders, gently bring it back. Your power of concentration will improve each day. As you sit or lie quietly, you may become conscious of an itching of the scalp. Leave it alone. Do not do anything about it. Do not scratch. Just watch. In a moment or two, it may die down and disappear, or else your attention will be distracted by a tingling somewhere else. Presently, you may become conscious of the back settling down into the bed or chair. Just watch this process. Try only to become exquisitely aware of the accompanying sensations without in the least trying to ignore them or change them. Make no judgments about what you observe. Merely notice. Do not criticize nor reject any of these sensations. They may be comfortable or uncomfortable, pleasurable or otherwise, but they are your own. Accept them just as they are. They are you. Sensations in different portions of the body will come and go without apparent rhyme or reason. Watch them. It is often a good idea to verbalize audibly just what you do feel. It is a procedure I often use in my office, where I encourage the patient lying on the couch to express audibly enough to hear me, to hear his description of exactly what he is presently feeling and where. The outcome of this is that a profound relaxation of nervous tension develops merely on the basis of watching. You do nothing else but observe the rise and fall of sensations without attempting in the least to modify whatever phenomena may occur. But day in and day out of practice will heighten enormously this function. That is called self-recollection, mindfulness, self-awareness, and many other names. Without this self-awareness, very little can be accomplished on the path. All other exercises and complex procedures actually begin from this heightening of self-awareness. Start it now. No special time need be set apart for this exercise. You may pursue it wherever you happen to be, at any time in any place. Certainly in bed when retiring at night or when arising in the morning, these are excellent periods of time to practice this art of self-recollection. While performing one's daily ablutions, bathing, washing, shaving, evacuating, applying makeup, dressing, etc., one can sharpen one's perception of what one is doing to become conscious of the most minute and hitherto insignificant sensations. This art can be extended enormously in a variety of different directions, as familiarity with practice makes one aware of more of what is going on inside. For example, if Carl Jung's definition of psychotherapy is that thereby one becomes conscious of what hitherto was unconscious, and the pursuit of this method will result in heightened consciousness of a large number of inner sensations, of which previously one was totally unaware. And to this extent, one's horizons of oneself will become enlarged. The path will be entered upon. This exercise should be pursued for at least 1 month. Two practice periods should be set aside at the very least every day, no longer than 10 minutes at a time. It was altogether apart from the momentary sensation of activity at varying times of the day in which to observe what is going on inside. Now, this is an extremely important practice because we get to know what's really going on below the surface of our mind. we get to realize not only the sensations that are happening within the body itself, but then what arises within the mind. And this is where many students stumble. They seek to still the mind instead of observe it. They seek to control or direct the forces within without even knowing what they are, what's really going on inside themselves. And the reason for this, which Rigardi hints at, but many people seem to want to sidestep, is that it can be very frightening. As we observe our own thoughts, we become afraid of ourselves because we realize what's really inside of us. And sometimes it's a lot of silliness and nonsense. Other times it's very deep and profound. But also sometimes it goes against the grain of what we're told a nice or good or pleasant person should be. Because we have many complex emotions that we need to untangle and understand. But to do that, we first have to observe them. We have to know what is really going on inside of ourselves. So as you do this, please do not be surprised that many violent, vulgar, or even grotesque things will arise. In fact, that's a good sign if you're looking for one. That's in many ways what we think of as the guardian of the threshold. Those aspects of us that challenge us to really embrace who we are. Because those energies can be seen as our crude efforts as a child. When we first began to learn to draw or play with clay, we made failed attempts. Well, maybe failed is the wrong word. We made crude attempts. Our drawings were ill-formed. They may have just been simple stick figures. Our manipulation of the clay or putty was a vague approximation of what a rabbit or a person or a flower may look like. We recognized it, but compared to a Rembrandt or a Da Vinci, no. But it was still ours, and it was our effort. So we have to look at these feelings and ideas and images that arise, and of course, note them down, particularly if they're exceptionally disturbing to you or exceptionally invigorating. I'm always reminded of the line from the book of Revelations, where Jesus says, or Christ is said to say, if they were hot or cold, I would embrace thee, but you're lukewarm, so I spit thee out. And, well, that's a paraphrase. The notion is of lukewarmness. We can't really do much with that. But those things which are powerful and strong, regardless of where they are, those are energies, those are forces we can do something with, and they're all within us. The other part here is concentration. If you have to do only one thing a day, spend your time developing your concentration, and do that not by formal concentration exercises, but simply by paying attention to what you're doing as you're doing it. If you find your mind wandering, bring it back. If you're washing the dishes, wash the dishes. Don't use it as a time to be thinking of other things. Notice the sensations. Notice the hot and cold. If you are experiencing something difficult, and this is another way of using it, stay with it. I remember one person who was telling me they were holding a box in line at a grocery store. And instead of becoming irritable about the process as the box grew heavy, or simply trying to pretend or shift or make it go away, they use it as an opportunity to move their focus away from the pain in their arm holding the heavy box to their foot, to their pinky, to some other part of their body, to focus on something outside of their body. This was an attempt to repress the pain, but simply to see and to test their ability to concentrate. Every day, every moment of every day offers us opportunities at reflection and realization. And we begin that with a formal practice, such as Rigardi presents us here, and then we move that into our daily experience, as I've suggested to you. So begin here with self-reflection, self-awareness, because ultimately that is what our spiritual practices are all about. Now, in closing, let us again say our prayer. The closing prayer which has been given to us. Unto thee, soul wise, soul mighty, and soul eternal one, be praise and glory forever. Thou who hast permitted me to enter thus far into the sanctuary of thy mysteries, not unto me, but unto thy name be the glory. Be my mind open to the higher. Be my heart a center of the light. Be my body a temple of the Holy Ghost. I close this thy temple with humble thanks and gratitude for thy help and inspiration. Again, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with me for this continuation of our study and analysis of this wonderful book, 12 Steps to Spiritual Enlightenment, also known as the One-Year Manual. And may the gods bless you. Good day.